Good morning to you. Thanks for spending part of your day with us here on News Radio 930 WFMD. This is The Faith Debate. I'm Troy Skinner, joined this week by Imran Razvi, Daniel Razvi, and Greg Windsor. We're going to be talking about The Last Days Pride Parade and The Return of the Lord. That's a book that you can find at barnesandnoble.com. Perhaps in a really good used bookstore or something, maybe. I don't know where else you might be able to find it. Anyway, this is our third go-round talking about this book with the publisher of the book, Greg Windsor. And by the way, I should probably do an adequate job promoting the other people and their resources. You can find all sorts of really good family and devotional and household-related, marriage-related kinds of stuff through the ministry that the Razvis have had now for, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it is now. They're online at conqueredbylove.org. Their ministry is Conquered by Love Ministries. And you can connect with me online, of course, at WFMD.com and householdoffaithinchrist.com. I know it's a mouthful, but that's the name of the church, Household of Faith in Christ. And so we just added a .com to the end and came up with a web address.
And if you missed it, there may or may not still be tickets available. I'm not sure. You can go to estherballet.com. There's a performance later today of the world premiere of Esther, the ballet that I've written, and I'll be conducting and we'll have ballet on a group on stage and so on. So it's again estherballet.com in Rockville.
And yes. The world premiere was yesterday, and the second ever presentation is today.
That's right.
Yeah, 3 o'clock, I think, is today.
I believe so, yes. But go check it out on the website. I'm not sure if there are any tickets left, but you can also send us a message and be on the list if we ever do some future events.
Yeah, because the plan is to do, like, this is the first annual of something, right? It might not be the same ballet. It might be a different ballet in the future, but we do other events.
We're looking at some other opportunities. So, yeah, that'll be on the website. It's estherballet.com.
Now, will that, sorry to kick off the show with a whole bunch of, like, promotional kinds of stuff, but your church has done a lot of things almost monthly, at least quarterly, where you have barbershop quartets or special singers or musicians or mm-hmm. or presentations. You had a spiritual warfare conference this past spring, for example. There's lots of things that you've been involved with. Will those sorts of things be on that same website?
No, we don't have a social media presence for the church, so you can certainly reach out to me directly if you're interested in getting involved and being part of some of those other events. But this one, the Esther Ballet, was a public event.
Okay, and shame on me, and maybe there's not a good answer to this question or an existent answer to this question. But Greg Windsor, you've got this book you've published called The Last Days Pride Parade and The Return of the Lord, which people can buy at Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. But if they wanted to connect with you or follow you in some other way, do you have a social media presence or a website or something?
You can contact me. Yes, you can contact me through Gab, through the Worthy Forum or Gab.
Okay. Now, the Worthy Forum, I'm not familiar with. Gab, I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm on Gab, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on MeWe.
You can contact me through Gab.
Parler is back, I'm on that. What else am I on? LinkedIn. What else am I on? I don't know. I'm probably forgetting.
Not all of us are social butterflies like you, Troy.
Truth Social. Yeah. I feel like I'm forgetting a couple. I don't know. I'm on a lot of those. The ones that conservatives who got kicked off of other forums, I'm typically on those. And I'm on YouTube, I guess, if you want to call it. And I'm on Sermon Audio and Odyssey.com. Right. Anyway, if you're on any of the ones I just mentioned, or you're curious if I'm on one that I maybe forgot to mention, go to householdoffaithinchrist.com, and you can see all the different social media links. And if you want to connect with me there, I'm happy to do it. I'm not very interactive as a start, but I will respond to those who interact with me. So I post, but I don't jump on other people's postings and get into all the Twitter wars and the comment sections. I don't typically do that, but I will post, and if somebody wants to interact with me on one of my posts, I'm happy to do that until it becomes inane and or insane. Then I will bow out, but I'll give you ample opportunity to prove yourself as either inane or insane before I do that. So fair warning. All right, so we're talking about this book, The Last Days Pride Parade and The Return of the Lord. So The Last Days Pride Parade, we've talked about the historical connections. We've made some biblical arguments, some extra-biblical historical connections, those sorts of things, talking about, you know, what's new, what's not, that sort of thing. But now we're getting into and the return of the Lord. So now we are closer to the return of the Lord today than we've ever been.
Amen. We all agree on that. Everybody can
and
agree
so, on that. So what does that mean for us? The things that are talked about in this book, talking about these goeth before a fall parades, things like that, aren't anything necessarily brand new, but they seem to have reached new heights. And we've talked about the how that's infected the church, and the church is, in too many ways, the visible church has fallen away or has been allowed themselves to be infected in ways that are unbiblical or unhelpful, for sure. So obviously you wrote this book not just to educate us about the history, but to understand that maybe the times that we're in, and maybe even as a call to action.
Right.
So as the publisher of this book that's been written by Tom Maccabeus, what would you say we need to be cognizant of? What if somebody were to do anything with what we've talked about these last couple of shows and again today, what do you hope we'll do with this information?
Well, I think, you know, surrounding many passages in the New Testament, end times, last days, you'll notice the words like watch out, be on your guard, you know, be careful that you don't get led astray with the error of lawless men, you know, all these, you know, flee immorality. So it's like there's these constant warnings. So I think that the church has to be grounded in the Word of God, you know, and drawing near to Him. And, you know, pursuing holiness. If we're pursuing holiness and something comes along which is defiling or, you know, or God forbid, an abomination, we recoil at that. Or if it's leading astray young people, which is a whole nother serious issue. So the church, first of all, I think needs to be hold on to God's word. And I think that the author also tries to highlight this thing of come out, flee. You know, the Maccabees, they fled. They fled to the mountains. Matthew 24, flee to the mountains. Sodom and Gomorrah, get out. Get out. You know, so, and in Revelation 17 and 18, you know, there's this whole concept of Mystery Babylon, which is a major New Testament tie-in. And what is the defining characteristic of Mystery Babylon? It corrupts the earth with immorality. So there's this defining characteristic, and, you know, it says, watch out for the teaching of Balaam, who corrupts the servants to immorality. And, of course, it's spiritual morality, too. Jezebel, what does Jezebel do? Revelation 2, seduces God's servants. So there's this constant theme throughout Scripture linking this sexual defilement with, you know, the false teachers and all that. And so God's people have to stand firm and, first of all, separate ourselves. Be separate, not in a holier-than-thou way, but just do not let this stuff infect us.
Now, Greg knows his Bible so well, he just casually made a mention to Mystery Babylon, but not everybody who hears him talk about that will know what he's talking about. He's in the book of Revelation. Sorry. He's talking about, you know, there's two beasts in the Revelation. One of them is depicted as a harlot. Kind of the church has lost its way. It's false teaching. It's basically in an immoral way marrying itself to the world system, the world governments, the ways of the world, that sort of thing. And this harlot is riding atop the beast and has a name across her forehead, Mystery Babylon, and then words that go on from there. And so that's the, if you want to look that up later and see what the context there is. But it's talking about the corruption of the world and the corruption of the visible church working in concert with one another, where one infects the other and the other infects the one, and they almost become indistinguishable. They are distinguished, but their aim, and they actually turn on each other. Interesting, right, in the book of Revelation. So they're not completely in lockstep.
Satan's kingdom is divided.
Yeah, but their aim is to destroy everything that is godly.
Right.
And by definition, then, those who are truly followers of Christ, the ones who have been called out to be holy ones, the aim is to set their sights, the beast's sights are set on them. And that's what we see going on in this world. So that's why it's exactly directed to what the book is talking about. There's this incredible energy and effort that's directed at all things biblical, all things godly, all things that are
holy,
about the true church, about holiness, are under assault. Where things we've taken for granted, and it's not just biblical per se, it's even the things that would be merely part of the natural order of things as God created them. So it's not just the world is attacking chapter and verse. but it's attacking these pervasive truths that are just have been considered common sense.
Yes.
Like for our whole life until now,
right.
It's no longer common sense because it was common because people were rooted in Western civilization. Common sense was biblical sense because we were rooted in biblical truths. Even if you weren't Christian, you were reared on biblical truths. You just accepted them as common truth. But now that's completely rejected.
My grandfather used to say, common sense is very uncommon among the common people.
Yeah, and we've crossed a line where I think there's an ebb and flow to history, and I think it's happened before. I don't think that we're completely distinctly unique, but there is something that's afresh and new for sure. But we've crossed a line from merely pagan to demonic.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and I would say that the whole purpose of that side, the evil in this world, is to replace what was common sense, biblically-based worldview to a new common sense, which is the evil-based, devil-based worldview. So what we as hold as a Christian, as a biblical worldview is being replaced daily, and they're changing the meaning of words to help change that the worldview. They're changing, they're forcing people to accept and participate, just like the Last Day Pride Parade book is showing. It's not okay just to be a bystander, but you have to participate now. And so a lot of Christians say, well, you know, we think and act differently in church, but out here we have to interact with the public, and you know, we're trying to be the salt of the world,
loving and kind.
Yeah, we have to be loving and
affirming.
Yeah, we can't
reach out.
We can't, you know, help them or save them if we don't participate with them, and that is completely wrong. You can't put, you know, you can't purify poison. You just can't.
And I love how you're drawing attention to the participation part. You, probably a couple of decades ago now, I had a dear pastor, a mentor of mine, really. He was talking about how the typical slide into degeneracy that we see in the world and in the church even, it starts with this lean to be tolerant.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to agree, but I'm going to tolerate it. You know, I'm not going to call it out as sin. I'm just going to coexist with it. I'm going to tolerate
right.
it. But then the next step after tolerance and what the pressure the world puts on you is to not merely tolerate, but to accept.
To affirm.
So, right, yeah, to accept and affirm. So it's not just that I'm going to tolerate it. It's wrong, but I'll be okay with it. Now I'm not going to even say it's wrong.
Right?
I'm not even going to go so far as to call it a sin. And you feel like that'll satisfy the world. That'll keep the wolves at bay, right? They won't be at my throat anymore, but that's not enough. What they then want is they want you to celebrate. Mm-hmm. It's not enough that you tolerate. It's not enough that
wow.
you accept. You now have to celebrate. You have to march in their parades. You have to be part of the celebration and wave the flags and put the things in your store window and all that sort of stuff. But now we've gotten to the point where it's gone to a fourth level that pastor I just mentioned didn't even have on his radar screen 20 years ago, which is they want active participation.
Yes,
right. There's all these articles you can read about how you are such a hater if you, a straight man, refuse to go on a date with a man who thinks he's a woman. Because,
wow.
of course, I mean, he's a woman, so that's heterosexual. No, it's not. It's homosexual, and they don't even have room for the people who say, well, you know, I wouldn't date somebody that's transgender. Because that's no longer dating somebody of the opposite sex at that point, and they have no tolerance for that. You have to join in. You have to
There's
actively
no
say
allowed.
you're okay with that, and it's crazy.
Yeah, let me reset again. This is the Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. I am Troy Skinner. You just heard the voice of Daniel Razvi, and chiming in for half a second while he was talking was Greg Windsor, and you also heard right before that Imran Razvi, and we're talking about issues related to this book, The Last Days Pride Parade and the Return of the Lord, published by Greg Windsor, and you can find it at barnesandnoble.com. And it's...
So,
oh, go ahead. You want,
so the... Yeah, it's first... First we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote evil, then we celebrate evil, and then we persecute those who still call it evil. That's the other quote I've heard before. It's not my quote. I heard it somewhere
and
before.
That, and you're seeing Christians who claim themselves to be Christians persecuting people that are actually standing
right.
up for the Bible. And that's really where we've gotten,
right.
where the so-called Christians of this world are now persecuting anyone that stands up for
right.
the truth.
And it's not just in the LGBT. I mean, we've talked about on the program in a few weeks ago, or a couple months ago now maybe, about how the pro-life movement, largely made up of professing believers are persecuting the abolitionist movement. Those who say that it should be considered murder and anybody who participates in it should be a murderer and punished criminally, that argument is completely rejected by the pro-life movement. In fact, they're demonizing people who hold that opinion, which is a more biblical opinion.
Yeah, and the whole linguistic argument thing, and Imran was talking about how they changed the language, they changed the meaning. You know, it wasn't too many weeks ago now, there was an article that I saw, and it was talking about, I think it was one of the Ivy League schools, maybe, or some big think tank or something. I can't remember what the source of this was, but the point of it was that they've now deemed that if you use the word biologically, or phrase, I guess, biologically male or biologically female, that that's hate speech.
Right.
So if you're trying to explain what's a trans woman, what's a trans man, and you're trying to explain, well, you know, you have a biological male who, and you go on to finish that sentence, you can't finish the sentence because just saying biological male is hateful.
You have to say they were assigned male at birth, and now they're...
It's descriptive, and even that descriptor, I'm not a fan of that even, because that's almost conceding the argument before you started it, right?
Yielding ground.
Biologically male. No, male. Right? Physiologically, biologically, mentally, emotionally, you know, right?
Spiritually.
Spiritually. Definitively. Male, like, why aren't we going to just subdivide it? We've already surrendered the ground before we started the argument, and that's the whole point I was saying before. It's not enough. You can surrender all the ground in the world until you're actively engaged in it yourself. They won't be satisfied.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, now you know, we all thought, well, pedophilia is still going to be bad, but it's not anymore. It's MAP. You're a minor attracted person. You can't even say pedophilia anymore. Minor attracted person. So they're trying to normalize all the evil that's out there, and to the point where you got to start promoting it, and then it'll be the other so-called Christians will be turning in Christians that don't support it and don't go move forward in that.
Just to, you know, there's a phrase, Revelation 13, it says, you know, speaking of commonly the Antichrist, says he causes all to receive the mark. It's that word in the Greek, there's a coercion, there's a manipulation, so that the people do it themselves. And just getting back to history, that is exactly what Emperor Antiochus wanted. He wanted each person had to sacrifice, not just the abomination temple. Everybody had to own it for themselves to fall away. So that spirit of intimidation is alive and well. But there's a verse that says the people who know their God shall stand firm and do exploits. So there's knowing God, standing firm, and then doing exploits, reaching out with the power of the gospel, because it's invincible. Stand your ground. Say, no, we love you, but this is sin. You know, so it's a call to action.
And here's why it's so disconcerting. You said this is sin. That's why it's so disconcerting. It's not so much that it's this evil, horrible sin, although it is. It's that it's missing a mark from the holiness that God represents and that God calls us to. And so I don't want us to merely be talking about the negatives and be on the attack against the evil, although we need to call evil out, particularly the evil that's within the church. You know, we need to identify the wolves and shoot them so that we can protect the sheep.
Right.
I mean, so, but protecting the sheep unto what? There's a beautiful picture there. So what makes this evil so horrendous is the truth, the beautiful truth that it denies, that we have a creator.
Right.
Who is loving and almighty and all powerful, and he's a God of order and a God of perfect holiness and righteousness, and everything that God endeavors to do is done well. Like, is done to the perfection of doing things well. And so we're called to be like him. We were made in his image, and that's a beautiful thing. But, of course, we have this sin, which is we've been talking about now rather extensively. And so that sin, not only is it an evil that's a sin against God, but it's an affront against what we were made to be.
Yes, the intrinsic nature.
Yeah, we're not living up to the beautiful thing that God made us to be. And so we want to call people to holiness because there's blessing in that. Amen. There's blessing in walking the true walk. There's blessing in having an actual biblical marriage. There's blessing in raising a biblical family and training your children up in the way they should go. There's great blessing in those things. And when we fall short of that, that's where you have all the angst and the trouble and the anger and the venom.
Problem.
And the death and the just the disgusting dirt of our lives. It's because of this sin. So we want to call people to what's good and beautiful. And that good and beautiful is represented by Christ, who lived the perfect, beautiful life and died the perfect death that we should have died. And then we can, once we embrace that, we can live that out by increasing sanctification out of gratitude for God. So it's not about trying to avoid the evil so much as about trying to embrace the holy, embrace the good. And because that's what ultimately we're going to have in glory. Everything is perfect. There is no evil. It's only the beautiful. It's only the good that's left.
But it's the devil's counterfeit of the biblical culture and the biblical worldview. And the biblical worldview, I mean, we've teased this on the program that we're going to be talking about this at some point soon, and maybe in the next few months, the idea that in the world generally there's three main paradigms, you know, the guilt and innocence and the fear and power and the honor and shame. And all three of those have their roots in biblical, the true versions of those have their roots in the Bible. But there's also counterfeit versions of all of those. And the counterfeit version of honor shame culture is arrogance and pride. In fact, I've heard some sermons where some pastors have attempted and failed to properly distinguish between the biblical desire to be honored and to have honor with pride and arrogance, because it can look very similar on the outside, but it's a counterfeit if you don't know what you're looking for. And this pride parade thing, this is all desiring false honor. They are in a state of shame. Sexual immorality causes great shame, and they want to be honored, so they're proclaiming honor on themselves by being prideful, saying, look at me, I'm so arrogant, I'm so prideful. And that is exactly the counterfeit of honor, because honor can only come from above. Only God can provide you honor.
Glory.
Someone that's more honorable than yourself can give you honor. And the honor, you cannot place it on yourself, and that is the devil's counterfeit. All of the devil's counterfeit cultures come from oneself. They don't come from God from the outside. So I think the pride parades and the pervasiveness of that is the infiltration of the devil's counterfeit honor and shame into a culture that traditionally has been very guilt and innocence oriented. And a lot of Christian pastors, they may be fighting it the wrong way. They may be thinking of it as, oh no, you're guilty, you're going to hell, whatever. But it's not so much that. Look, we understand you're in a position of shame. You know who can cover that shame is God, and here's how. Let me tell you about him. Right. So there's a positive way to preach that, and I think that may be something that we need to dig more deeply into at some point.
And some are so given over that in their heart has become so hard that they would argue and retort to you that, I don't feel any shame. That's because they become so calloused.
They glory in their shame, the Bible says.
But we can see not everybody is as completely given over yet to the hardness of their heart, and they're not as calloused yet. And you can see it in the statistics, the level of depression, the level of suicides, the level of substance abuse is much higher among the people within these sinful groups. I don't want to use the word communities because I don't think they fit the definition of community. But these people who identify as belonging to certain groups, they have outcomes on the whole that are far worse than the outcomes of those who don't say that they belong to one of those groups. And so that is something that is just, you know, the statistics would bear that out. I don't want to forget, we've got a couple minutes left on the show, and so I do want to have a chance to promote the book one more time, and we might have a chance for last-minute purchase of the things, and so I do want to do that. But before we get into, is there anything specific to what we've talked about the last 3 weeks that you'd like to say in, you know, 30 or 45 seconds to put a button on some things? No? Otherwise, we can just start promoting away.
I think one of the things, the actionable items of the last day of Pride Parade is really to open your eyes. No, don't be asleep anymore. Stand up. Know what is right by using the Bible, and stand for that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of people telling you that this is not the way the world is anymore. The world is the way the world is, but you are a Christian, so stand up for being a Christian.
Good words. I like that. That should be almost like a last word. Yeah. You have something better to say?
Well, I just want to say, you know, the good news is there's, and this is underreported, there's a lot of people coming out of there's people who are waking up after living in that lifestyle, just like many of us woke up after living in heterosexual sin. And the gospel is changing people. People are coming out of it to God's beautiful plan, you know, like what you're talking about. So there's good things happening.
All right, so your website for your events and stuff, the one that's today and ones that might come in the future again,
yeah, is EstherBallet.com. So E-S-T-H-E-R Ballet, B-A-L-L-E-T.
And that's going to be the website, even if you have an event that's not about ballet or Esther, it's going to be the website.
No, that's going to be the event for all things dealing with this ballet that I've written.
Gotcha.
And any future performances of that, and gotcha, contact okay. information will be there as well.
Okay, very good. And connecting with you and buying the book one more time?
Yes, just go to BarnesandNobles.com, type in Last Days Pride Parade, and it's also available in other outlets.
Okay.
Thank you.
And if somebody's destitute, is there a way for them to try to get a copy of the book?
Absolutely. There's a complimentary copy available to people. If people contact me personally, I will get you a complimentary copy of the ebook.
Okay. Very good. So if you want to get in touch with the publisher of the book, Greg Windsor, just get in touch with me and I'll put you in touch with Greg, and we'll handle it that way. And to do that, go to householdoffaithinchrist.com. You'll find my email. You'll actually find my phone number there as well. I'm a pretty open book on that sort of thing. If you harass me, I might block you, but I haven't had to do that just yet. So you could be the first. You could be precedent setting. You could be that one. There's always that one, you know? And of course, I don't always give a fair shot at promoting the radio station the way I should. We're incredibly grateful that we have this time to talk about these sorts of things every week on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. And so definitely go to WFMD.com. You can get updates on local news and see what's going on with the other shows. And you can connect with the Faith Debate. The Faith Debate does have its own page at WFMD.com. You can see what's coming up on future shows. You can see what was on recent shows. You can connect with all the podcasts, that sort of a thing. So you can definitely do that there. And if you're on Sermon Audio or Odyssey.com, I definitely encourage you to find the podcasts of the show there as well. Well, we're going to continue our conversation on the Faith Debate next week, 167 and a half hours from now. God bless.